And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. Grace you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is a portion of, again, our Sermon on the Mount from Christ, Matthew chapter 5. These words, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." If you in any way think that you are perhaps more deserving of God's grace and God's favor and God's provision than the heroin-addicted homeless man on the street, or the guy sneaking across the border to try to come to America and start working, even though he's not legal here, or the unmarried mom who has 5 children by 3 different men and now is pregnant again, then you haven't really been listening to and understanding Jesus' very dangerous Sermon on the Mount over these last number of weeks. Because if you've been hearing and understanding Jesus' very dangerous words, then you no doubt have felt the sting of your sin and the absolute necessity of God's grace. I know I have. There's no hope for us if we don't have Jesus. None. None whatsoever. We simply are not good enough. Even though we are good citizens, we pay our taxes, we look out for the neighbor's place when they're out of town or on vacation, we're not beholden to anyone, we take care of our own stuff, we still aren't good enough. Reading through Jesus' words in our text this morning in preparation for this message made me painfully aware of that once again. Because you see, in our text, Jesus calls us to a very dangerous love. He said that we're to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. A couple of years ago, that's probably been more than a couple now, there was a country singer. I've never heard anything more than this one song from him. But his name is Jaron Lowenstein, and he had a song entitled "Pray for You." Some of you may remember it. It was a song about his ex-girlfriend and how she had kind of mistreated him and left him. And he sang these words. He said, "I haven't been to church since I don't remember when. Things were going great till they fell apart again. So I listened to the preacher as he told me what to do. He said, 'You can't go hating others who've done wrong for you. Sometimes we get angry, but we must not condemn. Let the good Lord do his job, and you just pray for them. I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and hits you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you.'" That is not what Jesus had in mind when he told us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Now, I know that's what many of us would like to do, and oftentimes feel compelled to do, and maybe even on occasion have really good reason to do. But that is never what Jesus calls us nor allows us to do. Quite the opposite. He calls us, in fact, he commands us to love those who hate us. And by love, Jesus does not mean simply here that he wants us to somehow muster up some warm, fuzzy feelings toward our enemies. The love that Jesus is talking about is an action. It involves acts of kindness and displays of mercy. It calls for us to get out of the privacy and the seclusion of our own homes and of our own space in order to interact with those who are different from us and who may even hate us. Christ's call to love our enemies is a call to enter into a relationship with those people whom we would normally avoid, and to care for those people as we would care for our own family members. But who does that? I mean, really? I think we usually feel pretty good about ourselves if, you know, we step outside our comfort zone and we go across the street and welcome the new family into the neighborhood. Or if we let the person behind us in line at the grocery store who's only got three or four items go in front of us. Or maybe if we walk across the parking lot to the car that looks like its tire's kind of low on air pressure and let the owner know that they're low on air. For many of us, doing those little acts of kindness and mercy are about as close as we ever get to loving our enemies. But such acts of love, while commendable, are not the extent nor the intent of Jesus' words. Jesus is not exhorting us in his sermon to love those who love us. As he noted in the sermon, everybody does that. Terrible people love those who love them. And he isn't calling us just to love those people that we don't really know yet, who are kind of strangers to us, but to love those who hate us, to love those people who are hostile toward us, those people who want nothing to do with us. Those are the people that Christ calls us to embrace and to serve, and to sacrifice for. It's not so easy, is it? It's not so easy at all. In fact, it's next to impossible were it not for Jesus and his loving sacrifice on the cross. The scriptures state that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, which means while we were still God's enemies, Christ Jesus died for us. His sacrifice on the cross serves as an example for us, an example to us of how to love and to serve others, even those who hate us. But more than that, more than serving as an example, the forgiveness which we have received because of that sacrifice, that forgiveness now empowers us to go out and to live and to love likewise. His death and resurrection serve to enable us to love our enemies, and they teach us how to do it. Since we have been so forgiven and so loved by God, we are now empowered, and we are exhorted, and we are expected to love and forgive others also, regardless of how impossible and how daunting that might be, especially in certain circumstances. We are called to do it, and we can do it, because the one who lives in us is stronger than the one who lives in the world. And because we are empowered by the God who is the doer of the impossible. With that being said, does that mean that we will always utilize his power and follow his will? Sadly, no. The pull of sin inside us from our original sinful nature is still so strong that all too often we will probably more than likely resemble the world more than we resemble Christ. Which means that we'll probably only love those who love us. Which brings us back to the beginning of our message today. If we think for even one moment that we are in some way more deserving of God's grace and more entitled to his blessings than those other people out there who are not as responsible and not as respectable of people as we are, then we are sorely and we are severely mistaken. And our inability and our indifference to heed Christ's words to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us should make that abundantly clear to us. The only reason, and I do mean the only reason, that we have been forgiven by God and that we will live with him in eternity in heaven is because of Jesus. It's because of his death and his resurrection that we have been forgiven and that we have been saved. May we remember that truth. May we live by that truth. And may we be shaped by that truth as we live out our very dangerous discipleship. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.